During the Switch Pivot or Quit chat, we talked to women that have successfully navigated through some of the plot twist years of life and are eager to share their stories and what they've learned in the hopes of inspiring, teaching, or making even the slightest impact by candidly owning their truth. Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping in to the Switch Pivot or Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, a former sports entertainment publicist in New York City, turned traditionally published author with Simon & Schuster, who quit my old life to write a book, live in London for a bit, and explore my dreams to find my happiness and fulfillment. I'm here to help encourage and guide you through your plot twist as your chief encourager and host of the Switch Pivot or Quit podcast. Let's get this conversation started. On today's show, we're chatting with Brittany Moffitt, a social media strategist and content creator, as well as publisher of the lifestyle blog, According to Brittany, where she offers insightful stories and tips to guide millennial women through post-grad life and good old adulting. Brittany is a great example to those early in their career that you don't have to stick with it just because you picked it. Let's get into this chat with Brittany. So Brittany, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Ayana. I'm so excited.
No problem. I'm excited to chat as well. So as you know, on the Switch Pivot or Quit podcast, we talk all about the Switch Pivot or Quit experience. So to get us started, tell us, have you had your own SPQ experience?
Yes, I have had my own SPQ experience. It happened actually when I was in high school. I went through a program where I was basically taught how to become a teacher. It was a career technical program, so they actually move students from other schools so they can work in a certain atmosphere in that career. So I was in early childhood education, and so I went to another school where we worked in a preschool, and we were taught how to become teachers. We were taught, you know, the different kind of courses that you would take in college and all kinds of different principles and things like that to become a teacher. And so I was pretty much ready, like my senior year, I was like, I'm going to become a teacher. So I did a work study where I worked at a daycare, and that was also preparing me to work with children and have like that one-on-one teaching experience. Mm-hmm. And I actually learned in that experience that I didn't have a passion for becoming a teacher. And it was a little bit scary for me just because I was a senior in high school. So I'm like already applying for college, thinking about the next steps of my career.
Right.
And it's like one of that scary moment, you know, where they're like, okay, it's time for you to like figure out the rest of your life, like right now.
So, which is so unfair.
I was like, it is so unfair. Like, how am I supposed to figure out my whole life when I was just, you know, asking, can I go to the bathroom a few minutes ago in high school?
Right.
So I was like so nervous because I already sent out applications for schools with my major declared in education, in early childhood education. So I took some time after discovering that I did not want to work with children anymore. And I said, okay, well, what is it that you want to do? So I did a little bit of self-searching and research. And I took like a bunch of quizzes online of like, you know, what's your career? What should you be doing? And did just so much research on colleges and going to the guidance counselor's office every day and getting a magazine or whatever resources that they had available about colleges and majors. And I ended up taking one that pointed me in the direction of journalism. Mm. And I took some time and I was like, why did this quiz tell me that I should be in journalism? And I started looking like back on my life, and I noticed that I had like a love of writing that I never really like looked more into. Mm-hmm. I just would write, and I didn't really think of it as something that could be like as part of my career or something that I should pursue. For example, like I would, when I have family members come out from out of town, I would write up an entire newspaper of all the events that are going on and different kind of like stories. Like I was working in a newsroom and,
that's cute.
Yes. And, my grandmother, she used to buy me like American Girl books, and they would be completely blank. So you could write your own story. And so I would fill out the whole book and make up a story. as like a child. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I like really love writing. So maybe that's why, you know, I need to go into journalism. And so, you know, I was already, I went to college and my major was journalism. And my first year, like I was flunking all my classes and about to get kicked out of school because I didn't have financial aid. Mm-hmm. So then I'm freaking out again because I'm like, okay, you thought you had it figured out, but you're not doing good in school and you're about to get kicked out of school. So I, you know, kind of did it again where I was like, you know, what is it? Like, what do I want to do? Mm-hmm. And thinking more about myself, and I just noticed also that I've had a love for business. Mm-hmm. My mother, she's always, you know, been an entrepreneur. She's had like her own businesses. And I was like, that's something that also appeals to me, business and writing. And so that's when I kind of went to my counselor and I said, you know, these are the two things I want to do. And they recommended me to go into communication, which became my major. And that's what I graduated with, which was communication. And that's how I got into marketing and social media, because I use a lot of my writing skills to help businesses through social media and through writing.
Nice. Very nice. And it's so funny that, and I like that you talk about your early experiences with the SPQ, because, you know, a lot of people think that these like quarter life crisis moments happen at a certain point in time. But I really feel like we all enter this space where we feel like we need to switch, pivot, or quit probably every 2 to 5 years in our lives, because things change, things happen, circumstances mm-hmm. change, you know, your interests change just as a human being. And, you know, like we said before, it's like very unfortunate that early on they want you to declare and figure out what you want to do with the rest of your life. And I think that's how, that's really how so many of us get into that bind too, of figuring out what's next for us, because you were brave in that you realized, hey, this teaching thing, not really working for me, not really number one on my list. I'm going to make a switch here, you know? But you could have just kept going with it, went into college with it, graduated and everything, only to then find out it be in this real world with this now whole career that you've established, only to find out and finally declare, I hate this, I'm over it, you know? And then it probably would have been a larger thing to tackle. So I definitely commend you for sort of identifying what you knew to be true for yourself and then continuing to do the work on yourself to figure out, hey, where do my interests really lie? That's awesome, because a lot of people just don't take that time. We just coast until it really becomes a problem. So kudos to you on that one. Now, Now you have a lifestyle blog, and you mentioned that you do social media content creation work, and through your lifestyle blog, According to Brittany, that's the name of it. In addition to that, do you also work a 9-to-5, or how do you sort of have your life set up now when it comes to your professional career?
Yeah. So right now, I work as a marketing specialist, at a chemicals company. And I work there actually part-time. So I work 3 days a week, 25 hours a week.
Nice, nice. And that's in addition to running your blog, According to Brittany.
Yes.
Wow. So I really, really like that you have a part-time situation, because a lot of people that we talk to, they think it's all or nothing, you know, or they approach this switch, pivot, or quit experience as an all or nothing situation. And I think it's very smart to have a part-time position or a part-time situation, especially when you're trying to figure out what your next step is. And I'm not saying that that's what you're doing, but I'm just telling our listeners, you know, that is one way to go. So how did you sort of decide that you wanted to have a part-time situation, Brittany?
Yeah, so when I graduated from college, I did stay at the daycare that I was working at during my senior year, because they had a position open for me and I was using that so I can, you know, continue to bring in an income while I'm searching for a job in my career. Mm-hmm. So I was working there and, you know, obviously feeling unfulfilled.
Right.
And they decided to put me on in the office as a marketing specialist there. And I thought that that was going to be like, you know, that was going to be great for me. Like, at least I'm doing marketing. And but obviously, unfortunately, it didn't work out really for me just because I wasn't able to do a lot of the marketing work I was doing. At the time, I was working full time, sometimes more than 40 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so that didn't leave me a lot of time to work on my own passions and my own blog and my own business.
Mm-hmm.
So I did end up just kind of, it almost seemed like it was just this random thing where I applied for a position where I had no idea what the company was. It was through a recruiter, and I didn't know the name of the company until the day before my interview. And so that made it obviously a little difficult to prepare for the interview, but obviously I did pretty well since I did get the job. They offered it to me like the week after I interviewed. I never went in for a normal interview. So that's when I decided, you know, I'm going to take this opportunity. It was a little scary just because I've never worked part-time before since college. So, I was a little worried about, am I going to be able to afford my bills? You know, how am I going to deal with this new time? I'm not used to working, you know, part-time. But as I've taken on this role and I've, you know, been able to manage my bills and at the same time, it granted me more time to put into my business and my blog, and I was able to start making more of an income for my business and my blog, which kind of balances out the fact that I'm not working full time.
Right.
And I also get to fulfill my passion and work on something that I really love. So I feel very fortunate.
You are, for sure. So with According to Brittany, you offer to be a destination that guides millennial women through post-grad life and adulting. What made you feel this necessity to provide your input in this space? You know, because there's a lot of people that are talking about post-grad life and talking about adulting and all of that. So what made you feel like this push to say, hey, I want to be a part of this conversation and I have some things I want to add, you know?
Yeah. So what made me decide to get into the adulting game is basically I was pretty much living it and going through it every day and feeling the frustration that I saw a lot of my other peers who were graduating with me at the same time and weren't able to find the careers that they wanted. And I wanted to be the person that can be like, well, here's some things that I've done that have helped me in my career. And and here's some things that I've done that have helped me with any other topic that has to do with adulting. And it first started as something that was just personal for me, where I just wrote because I enjoyed writing. And I wrote because it was just something that I knew that I loved doing, so it wasn't hard for me to do. So that's how it started. But then as I continued to write and I continued to, you know, just kind of live in the space of being a millennial, I interact with millennials all the time in my job and in my personal life. So that's kind of what made me think, okay, this is a really good topic to write about. And once I actually started giving tips and giving advice, I started to get like a lot of positive feedback from other millennials who were saying that these tips were helpful or this helped me through this situation or this, you know, time in my life. So I figured that it was something that was worthwhile to be talking about.
Right. So you had this story on the blog, and it was called How to Find a Career You Love. And I want to find out from you, why is tackling topics like how to find a career that you love important for you to discuss on your platform?
Yeah. So I think that this is really important to talk about on my blog because I've seen a lot of people who their careers are not something that they love. And that not only ruins their performance and therefore can be detrimental to their company, but it also ruins their own lives, their own personal lives. I can even say for myself, when I was in a career that I didn't love, you know, I wasn't happy, and that unhappiness would be shown with my personal life. I would come home, I would be crabby, I would be annoyed, I would be unfulfilled. Right. So that made me not really care about other things like that had nothing to do with my career, like eating well or working out or, you know, hanging out with my friends, being social, things like that. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't understand how my career was affecting my life until I decided to find the career that I love, and how much it changed not only just my professional life, but I myself, I was more happy. I was excited. I was more motivated to do things outside mm-hmm. of my career. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really important for anybody to have a career that they love, that will also, because it will also be shown in their personal life.
Yeah, yeah. So in that particular post, there were a few things that was discussed, and I want to see if you can walk us through some of the steps to sort of like finding a career that you love.
Yeah, so there were three steps in that post. The first one was to create a career journal. So that's basically where you go in your job and you write down moments in your job where maybe you feel happy about something that you're doing, or you're not too into it, or you're like, no, this is something that I do in my job that I don't want to do. So mm-hmm. that kind of helps you see, like, you know, maybe there's some tasks that I do enjoy and some tasks that I don't. So maybe there's a chance I can find a career that includes more of the tasks that I love and less of the tasks that I don't love. The next one is to identify what kind of impact you want to make. So, you know, for some people, the impact that they want to make is, you know, they want to make an impact for their families. They want to, you know, be able to make a lot of money and to travel. And for some people, they might want to work in a nonprofit and they want to help people who are less fortunate. So understanding what kind of impact you want to make on other people mm-hmm. can obviously be a way that you can drive your career.
Right.
And then the last one was to think about the kind of lifestyle that you wanted to have. So with any job, you get a different lifestyle. Like, there are some jobs where you are required to travel a lot. So if that's something that you don't want to do, then you probably don't want to take a career in, like, sales or mm-hmm. you know, even sometimes like marketing can be traveling a lot. So thinking about the kind of lifestyle that you want can really help you come up with a career that is going to fit your lifestyle, help you make a good impact on the world, and overall just make you a more happy and fulfilled individual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in your opinion, what role does personal development, and I know that you've said that you've done, you know, a lot of your own personal work. So what role does personal development play in a person's quest for a successful professional life?
Yeah, so I actually have a pretty good example of this in my own journey, where my blog is one of the things that I use to have a better, it helps me in my personal life and as well in my professional life, because the fact that I was doing something that I really loved, writing, and also working with social media, because I use social media to promote my blog. Mm-hmm. And those are two things that I really wanted to do. And actually, the fact that I was taking that initiative outside of my professional life, like, I was running this blog, but it wasn't something that I had to do to make money, or it wasn't part of my career. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I was doing something like that, I was going out and figuring out how to run a blog, how to set up a website, all these kinds of things, it showed my employers that I am someone who takes initiative. I'm someone who solves problems. I'm someone who is motivated even outside of their career to have personal development and become a better person. So I think that those two things, your personal life and your professional life, are interchangeable, because you can do things in your career that will be better for your personal life, and you can do things in your personal life that will be better for your professional life.
Yeah, that's so true. Very true. Very true. So what would be your advice to someone that's looking to transition into a new career?
So my advice for someone who's looking to transition is to always self-search and research. Mm-hmm. So you have to really look into yourself and figure out what kinds of things make you happy, what kinds of work fulfills you, and what kind of work could you do every day where it wouldn't seem like, you know, the worst thing in the world.
Right.
And that's really like how it is, because you know, if you go into a career and you're doing something that is the worst thing in the world, then your whole outlook is that everything is the worst thing in the world, because you're spending a great deal of your time doing the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
So spending some time figuring out what you want to do, what's your passion, what you love, and then researching, figuring out where in your world are people doing these things. It could be another company, or it could be, you know, something that you can start on your own and build up while you're working in whatever other career that you're in. But finding where that is, and then lastly, which I think is the most important, is connecting with other people. Because I feel like a lot of times, especially like with the internet and like with things being so digital, and I am one of those people who I can definitely say I've done this a lot, where I just kind of stayed to myself and I thought, you know, someone will notice me and like take a chance on me. But really, once I started like networking and collaborating with other women and collaborating with other people and meeting other people, that's when different opportunities started arising themselves to me. Mm-hmm. It wasn't me sitting on my computer and, right, you know, just sending out my resume. It was me going to a networking event and talking to a founder of a corporation, and she says, I need help with my social media. And that's how I got one of my first social media internships.
Mm-hmm.
So doing things where you're actually interacting with other people and collaborating with other people and meeting other people is how you're going to change your career.
Right, right. I like that. So you wrote a piece about knowing when it's time to leave your job. So knowing that you want to transition is one thing, but knowing when it's time to leave, I feel like that's another. So in your opinion, how does one know when it's actually time to leave?
Yes, that is a really good question, because I feel like a lot of people, and I know I've done this myself, can sometimes get comfortable where they are.
Right.
And they don't want to leave what's comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to put themselves out of their comfort zone. And mm-hmm. I saw a lot of this where I worked previously, where even though people were unhappy and they, you know, they weren't fulfilled and they weren't, you know, feeling good in their careers, they would still stay there because they felt comfortable there.
Right.
So I think knowing that you're ready to leave your job really, again, takes that self-searching, where a lot of times it might not even be in your career that you see it. For me, a lot of time when I saw that I was ready to leave my job is when I would come home, and I would literally come home from work, walk through the door, sit on the couch, turn on the TV, and that's what I did until 11 o'clock, until it's time to go to bed.
Mm. So you did nothing else. Escaping. Like, just kind of getting out of your reality, yeah.
Exactly. I didn't have a passion to do anything else, to run a blog or to hang out with my friends or to work out or any of those things. Because I was so tired, and not just physically tired, but just mentally and emotionally just drained, that the only thing I wanted to do in my spare time was just sit on the couch and watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of times we have to look at not just how our careers are, because we're all going to have times in our career and our jobs where we're annoyed and we're frustrated and we wish, you know, we didn't have to work. But at the end of the day, we all do have to work. And if you're noticing that you're not even having a fulfilled personal life,
right,
then it probably has a lot to do with the fact that you don't have a fulfilled professional life.
Yeah, I like that. So the concept of switch, pivot, or quit is largely about taking action. And like you just mentioned, sometimes people become stagnant. They just get very complacent. And a lot of it is due to fear of just taking those steps to move forward, to do what you need to do, to put yourself out of your comfort zone. And I know that you've gone through your own transitions in life. So do you have any tips for overcoming that fear or the doubt maybe that one would have in oneself, or like anything that you might have done to sort of like tap some of these fears?
So I think for me, how I get rid of that doubt, because I know, especially when I'm, you know, starting this business and I feel a lot of that imposter syndrome, like who wants to listen to me? Who wants to do any work with me? You know, there's a lot of other people doing exactly what I do. I always try to think of the fact that I am my own person. And no matter what anybody else tries to do, what I do is different. Nobody can redo something the way that I do it. Nobody can teach someone the way that I teach or help someone the way that I help someone, because we're all different. And just like taking a chance on someone else can be really good for someone, taking a chance on me can also be really good for someone. We all can offer something to someone that somebody else just might not be able to offer them. And and remembering that is so important, because like I said, a lot of times we're in industries and in jobs and in careers where it just seems like there's so many people and we're all competing for the same job or for the same client or for the same whatever. And we kind of, you know, count ourselves out before we even get the chance to put ourselves in the ring. So just thinking that, you know, you're different, someone else is going to be different, and you can be a good fit just as much as someone else can be a good fit.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Very true. And I like the positivity in just everything that you said so far, and just being optimistic about things versus being pessimistic about things. And I'm sure that even though you mentioned sometimes when there's moments where you just feel like, you know, and not really like so motivated and inspired in your personal life, it seems like you'd probably be a really good friend to have. So why is women supporting women an important concept to you, or just uplifting one another? Why is that an important concept to you? Because obviously your blog is geared towards women as well. So I'm thinking that that has some, have some kind of importance to you. Why is women supporting women important to you?
So women supporting women is so important to me. Women are strong forces and we get stuff done like I've never seen anyone do anything. We multitask when it needs to be multitask. We'll cook dinner and do a conference meeting while we're, you know, writing and doing work all at the same time.
Right.
And we'll put more into anything than anybody. We want to prove ourselves. We want to be the best. We want to be good friends and good wives and good mothers and good employees and good businesswomen. Like we want to be good at everything that we do and the best at everything we do. So, and we also want to collaborate and help each other.
Right.
And I've noticed that a lot as I'm becoming more into the business world and becoming an entrepreneur, that women want to help other women and they want to bring other women up with them. I never see a woman that's like, I don't want to help other women. I don't want other women to succeed. We all want to help each other succeed, and we all want to be the best, and we all want to be at the top.
Right.
So I've noticed in my business that when I try to do it all alone, when I try to not collaborate and not network with other people, my business was suffering. And the minute I started working with other women and bringing them in on projects and them bringing me in on projects, that's when I started seeing my business grow. That's when I started seeing traffic to my blog. That's when I started getting opportunities that I, you know, never would have thought would come up in my life. mm-hmm. when I started collaborating with other women. So I think it's so important that we continue to collaborate and help each other and be there for each other.
Yeah, that's awesome. So true. It's like when you put your forces together, then it's like,
yeah,
you can't stop us.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Now, do you have any personal routines or practices, like maybe let's say to start your day, that you feel like have given you some type of, let's say, whether it be advantage or just clear headspace, whatever, to sort of be the best that you can be?
So I think the best thing, especially, I know there are a lot of women who work from home and work mm-hmm. remotely. And when I work on my blog and my business, that's what I do. I'm at home and I am, you know, we tend to like want to be relaxed and mm-hmm. maybe not as productive as if we're in an office.
Right.
So I try to keep up the professionalism and the routine of being in office when I work from home. So I get up at the same time that my boyfriend gets up for work mm-hmm. and start working pretty much immediately. I try not to lay down when I work. I try to it up and
right
and focus in. I also try to keep a track of what things I'm going to do for that day, especially for like entrepreneurs. It can seem like there's like a million tasks to get done, so mm-hmm. kind of keeping track of which tasks I'll kind of like in the morning think in my head, like, okay, here are the five things I need to do, and then I'll put, okay, this one's number one, like, this is the most important, this is the second most important, so kind of like prioritizing between my tasks, which one is the most important, which one isn't, and trying to keep within those tasks and not trying to deviate to other projects or other tasks that can maybe wait another day.
Right.
So just kind of like staying organized and like thinking when I wake up or like when I first start getting ready for the day, like, okay, these are the things I have to do. I need to do this and do this and do that. So it kind of set me up for being ready to work on those projects and actually getting them done.
Exactly. Exactly. So my final last question is, what does success mean or look like for you?
Oh, that is a really good question. So I think for me, I always think that for me to be successful, I need to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm not happy, then what's the point? If I'm rich or if I'm
right.
living in a big mansion, if I'm mm-hmm. unhappy, it kind of means nothing. So always happiness. And also just being financially stable and mm-hmm. able to do things in my life that I think are important. So I may not be the, you know, the next Oprah Winfrey as far as my riches go. But if I'm in a place where I'm not stressed out, you know, working from paycheck to paycheck
mm-hmm.
and I'm able to do things I love to do, like traveling or going to concerts or something, if I'm able to do that without worrying about, you know, my next bill or my next, you know, car needs fixing or something like that, then
right.
I feel like I've reached a level of success where I can say, this is success. I'm happy and I'm financially stable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense. That makes so much sense to me. Like, hello, like you said, finances aren't everything, but they matter.
They do.
Yeah. So, Brittany, tell our listeners how they can find you and keep up with you.
Yes, yeah, so you can find my blog at accordingtobrittany.com, and Brittany is spelled Brittney. And then you can also find me on Instagram, which is also at accordingtobrittany. And you can find me on Facebook. I am Brittany at accordingtobrittany, or Brittany from accordingtobrittany, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also find me on Twitter. And that one is according the number 2 and then BRIT. And Pinterest is the same as Twitter.
Nice. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you so much for sharing your insight with us, your experiences with us, and being so candid with us. I certainly appreciate it.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on. I'm so excited, and I appreciate it. And this was so much fun.
Yay! As always, you guys, keep killing it.